Hi, this is Kara from the Pure Rock Shop, and today we have Gavin Evick with us on the line. Hey, Gavin.
Hey, Kara. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm excited for the interview.
Yeah, I'm still recovering a bit from Monsters on the Mountain. I ended up picking up COVID down there. I hope you returned healthy.
I did return healthy.
Good.
That was really fun, by the way.
It was. It was a great event, and I really liked the new venue this year. I don't know if you were there last year, but...
Yeah, I was there last year.
Yeah.
It was in Pigeon Forge last year.
Right. Yeah. Definitely liked the new venue better. Great to see you there. And I was really excited to hear about your new video and song, Favorite Songs.
Did I tell you about that when I was down there?
You didn't, but I got a press release right after I returned home. So I actually had an opportunity to hear a little bit of your music when I interviewed your father a few months back. He was in town with Bret Michaels, and we did an interview about his new singles. So I guess I got a little sneak peek. And you definitely have more of an 80s sound, which isn't surprising. I think you've kind of grown up in that era of music, right?
Of course. That's the goal.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about, you know, how you started. How long have you been playing?
Well, I mean, I think I started about 3 years ago, you know, not as long of a time as I wish I've been playing, you know, like I wish I started when I was younger, but it really started, I think, what, my junior year in high school, you know, I mean, I could go in detail about saying, like, I think it started when I found this kind of YouTube video of learning how to play Eruption on the guitar from Van Halen, and I saw how easy it was to do a little tapping lick of it, and you know, I made a bet to my dad saying, hey, if I learn this in a week, will you let me go on stage and play it? You know, I didn't know how to play the guitar at all. That was the very beginning of it, so I learned it. It was pretty sloppy, but then that kind of got me down the road of learning more songs, easier songs. Like my second song that I ever learned on guitar was Talk Dirty to Me by Poison.
Okay.
It's just three chords.
Right.
You know, and it went on from there. And then my dad was like, you should learn how to sing and stuff. And later down the line at one of his solo shows, the Epic shows that he does, he, this was when I was getting into Skid Row. About 3 years ago, when I was diving deeper into Skid Row, because I always knew, you know, I remember you and stuff. But when I was going through my deep kind of, you know, listening of Skid Row, he would do Youth Gone Wild at his Epic concerts, and he skipped over Youth Gone Wild at the concert. And I told him, like, hey, why'd you skip over it? And he's like, you know what, I'll do it. So he brought me up to announce that they were going to do Youth Gone Wild, and he tricked me. And he actually had me stay up to do Youth Gone Wild. I didn't know a single thing about singing. I sang all that shit out of key. And I sang it with him. And I think the moment that made me kind of want to do this is I didn't know all the lyrics at all whatsoever. And there was this moment in the second verse, you know, when he says, well, hey, man, there's something you ought to know. I'll tell you Park Avenue leads to... And then at that moment, I didn't know the lyrics really that much. And the band stopped. Everybody stopped. I was like, what's going on? And then the whole crowd screamed Skid Row.
Yeah.
And that was such a cool experience, you know, to feel the adrenaline in the crowd just kind of connect with you. That's something that no other genre really kind of connects with, is that adrenaline and the feeling and the emotion of the crowd and the band can just kind of connect, you know?
Yeah.
So that's kind of what made me want to take it a little bit more seriously. So to answer your question, it was about 3 years ago when I got started down this path.
So what do your friends in high school think, you know, like 3 years ago, and you're playing 80s music instead of listening to what's out there now, and I don't even want to say on the radio, on Spotify or, you know, iTunes.
Well, it's funny. I kind of kept this kind of pretty low-key for 3 years. You know, like I didn't really tell a whole lot of people. I mean, obviously, my closest friends saw that I had long hair, obviously. That's a big difference.
Yeah.
You know, and I'd always post kind of me kind of chilling with a guitar on my, like, Snapchat stories and stuff. But, I mean, and obviously TikTok. But TikTok, it's different than Instagram because TikTok is a bunch of random kind of people, like 28,000 followers on my TikTok. It was just random people that enjoy my content, whereas his Instagram, it's all close friends that I've never really talked about it with. Mm-hmm. So for 3 years, I kept it pretty personal, except for a few close friends that have heard it. My buddy Logan Blake, who you've met, I'm pretty sure, he's always with me at these events. He wasn't at Monsters, but he was in M3. I think you met him.
Okay.
He's been playing guitar with me for 3 years, and you know he's in the video too.
Mm-hmm.
So he's one of my high school friends that you know I've kept along for the journey too.
Yeah.
You know, but the moral of the story is, you know, a lot of people kind of shit bricks when they're about to release their first song, but it was pretty nerve-wracking to me to kind of come out to, you know, all of my old high school friends, especially because this type of music is not what my generation kind of listens to.
Right, right.
You know, I was pretty nervous about it, but I was incredibly surprised by the amount of support that everybody in my entire high school was giving me. You know, like I hadn't posted on Instagram in like 3 years. I haven't done this. I hadn't had a real connection with all my high school buddies in a long time, and then I just kind of came out here out of nowhere, and then everybody was super supportive. And it was strange because I'm a lot of my friends will be kind of really honest sometimes and be like, it's a good song, but it's not really for me or something like that. Not one.
Yeah.
All of them have said that it's a banger and that everybody loves it. You know, it's really surprising because, you know, I didn't think that people in my generation would be kind of into, one, rock, and two, it's kind of like a cheesy love story, you know?
Yeah. It's definitely a power ballad. You know?
Yeah. And I was really, really surprised by the amount of support. Not that I was expecting anybody to be an asshole, but like, I thought that it would be the common, like, oh, I think it's a cool song, but it's not for me. Everybody, all my friends seem to really, really like it. And it's, you know, it's kind of helped. Like that, those kind of words kind of keep me, you know, inspired to keep doing it, you know? So, I mean, as we speak right now, I've been talking to a lot of people trying to, you know, kind of form a band. I mean, I released the song as Epic. I didn't release it as kind of like a band name or anything.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, it's kind of undetermined what the future is going to be like. But, I mean, I think it's a fascinating topic on the sense that I think it's hard to grow a band nowadays.
Hmm.
You know, it's really, really hard to, you know, grow a band, you know, like I thought about it a lot. The reason I released it as Gavin Evick is because nowadays people really just care about the influencer, the person.
Hmm.
You know, you see it kind of in country music. There's no real country bands nowadays. I mean, there's some, but like Morgan Wallen, he has his whole band, but he's known as Morgan Wallen.
Right.
But like it's just a common thing nowadays to kind of care about kind of not care as in like you don't care about the rest of the band, but I think people look at kind of the influencer and the kind of front man more. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's just kind of difficult to grow a band. You can't, but I'm taking the approach as kind of a solo artist right now that I'm forming a live band, whether that's known as a band name or just Gavin Evick band.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's to be determined, but releasing music right now it's just Gavin Evick.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, well, it's exciting. I'm exciting to hear, you know, the first song and see how things evolve for you. You know, do you have anything planned out right now, or are you just gonna kind of see what happens now that you've made the splash with a new song?
There's a lot planned out.
Yeah.
You know, I would not have done, you know, chosen this path if I didn't have a really, really strong plan, because it is a really, really hard thing to do to make it in the music industry, let alone, you know, be kind of a new rock artist nowadays, mainstream. It's really, really hard. And I don't think I would have gone down this path if I didn't have, you know, a great team of people behind me too, including my dad, you know, and we have a path of things to do. This was just the first song, you know, where second song, I don't it's not super soon. It's a little further away because, I mean, we spent probably 5 months making favorite songs, making the song, and then about 4 months, you know, getting ready for the release of it. Yeah. You know, so, I mean, as much as earlier on I wanted to make a big album, like a 10-song album, you know, it was me and my dad agreed that for four or five months, let's just focus on making one good song.
Right.
So that's what kind of takes you places, is one hit versus, you know, you could have an album of great songs. The hit song is what's going to take you.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it'd be the most successful. So we're working on another one right now, and it's nowhere near the same as favorite songs. It's going to be like kind of a little bit heavier. It's like an anthem.
Okay.
So yeah, we do have a plan. I mean, I think my dad's got a show in January. His epic show, you know, and I always kind of get up to sing some songs with the last show I did, Metal Health, you know.
Yeah.
So I think some people are kind of expecting me to, you know, kind of perform there, whether that is, if I have the whole band by then, we could see what happens. Mm-hmm. If not, I mean, obviously perform there, whether it's with my band or just getting up to play with dad.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But after that, I mean, without getting into too much detail, because nothing's for certain, obviously.
Yeah.
But I am looking really hard into forming a band right now. I'm practicing myself a whole lot, probably 4 times a week. And I'm getting ready to, there's a few things that we've talked about happening as soon as I get the band ready. You know, behind the scenes, we've made some kind of deals, if you want to say, about opening shows and, you know, performing with this person, performing with that person. So there is a plan, but it's a long plan, you know, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, and I think you picked a good time to, you know, come out with a song that fits this era, because there's so much of a buzz around like 80s nostalgia right now. And anything that sounds like that, I mean, look at how many kids are learning how to play Master of Puppets because of Stranger Things. And, you know, and Metallica's back at the top of the charts with that song that, you know, was out when I was a kid. And it's interesting because I have two teenagers and they both picked up their guitars because that's what they wanted to learn how to play. And I haven't heard them play in a while, but that inspired them because they saw Stranger Things and it was cool. So I think, you know, your timing is great. So it'll be exciting to see what happens. And, you know, there's uncertainty for everybody right now, Gavin. Like, we never know if a show is going to happen or not happen in the COVID era, right?
Yeah, I think rock and roll as a whole is at a very, very, you know, critical point in its life right now. It could either be really good or we could possibly see kind of the downfall of it. You know, like, we're at a point where it could be revived right now. Because, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and beat Gene Simmons and say rock and roll is dead, but it's not, it's nowhere near what it should be right now. And, you know, it could go in two directions right now. Like I said, I really think in today's day and age, rock and roll is at a really critical point of something needs to happen.
Yeah.
You know, or else, you know, it's not going to go well for rock and roll.
Mm-hmm.
You know, punk has been revived. You know, you see that with, you know, Machine Gun Kelly and Travis Barker, and, you know, and they did it right. You know, it takes the influencer. It takes, you know, the front man. MGK has successfully brought back pop punk, and I'm not saying that, you know, I could be that person, but I'm definitely going to try to, you know, kind of aid in the revival of real rock and roll. I say real rock and roll because, I mean, it's real kind of heartfelt rock songs with real guitar solos, not really pop melodies and stuff like that. You know, I believe in real rock and roll, real live music at shows and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
we'll
see. I mean, it's like Eddie Trunk says, we're kind of at an epidemic of live music right now.
For sure.
Because a lot of people use, you know, the backing tracks and all that. But I believe in real rock and roll. That's why I practice 4 times a week to, you know, be the best, you know, musician I could possibly be. I don't want to say rock star because rock star I feel like is a term that's given to you. You don't want to call yourself that. Yeah. I'm nowhere near it, but I want to be the best musician possible because I really believe in more than just I want to be somebody that makes music. I want to be more than that. I want to kind of be the person to bring back real live music. I mean, it happens nowadays, but in my generation, it's pretty rare that, you know, you make the music on stage, you know, it's all tracks and stuff. So right. It's more than just making a song that sounds like the 80s. It's bringing back real craftsmanship on stage.
Very cool. So yeah. If people want to follow your path here, what's the best way for them to find out more? I know you mentioned TikTok and Instagram. How can they find you?
Instagram, you know, Instagram and TikTok are two very different. I mean, if you want to follow me on both, you could. They're both Gavin Epic, but TikTok is more meant for kind of stupid little fun videos, you know, whereas Instagram, I keep it a little bit more more standard, and, you know, I'll post normal updates or, you know, for example, I've just released a really small merch drop, and that's okay. On Instagram. I don't really post it on TikTok because TikTok is meant for stupid little videos, but yeah, so just Instagram and TikTok to follow me.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for joining us and telling us about, you know, the start of hopefully something big, and look forward to hearing more from you.
Of course. I always appreciate talking to you, Kara. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you.